What a pleasure it has been this week to get to labor with the saints here and to share this portion of God's Word that we had begun looking at Thursday night in God's plan of salvation. And as we are now nearing the end, and really this morning a critical part, my tongue will work with my mouth here in just a second, I guarantee you, a critical part in our salvation. And as we had began with the fact of the first step in God's plan of salvation is to hear the gospel, to hear it taught. And an understanding, as we talked about Thursday night, that we have got to be the ones, us, the children of God, disciples of Christ, getting out there and teaching it and sharing it that it may be heard. And that we must read it. And this is a step that never ends. That it has a beginning, but it has no end until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes in all of His glory to gather us home. And even then in heaven, we will continue to hear the glory of our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we saw Friday night in that of the step that we of belief, in believing in Jesus Christ, of who He is, that He be the only begotten Son of God, that He is our Lord and Savior, Savior to all mankind. And as we saw last night, the need of repentance. And that once that need of repentance is made known to us, that it is a step that we will continue in until that day of judgment also. And as we began in our study this morning in Bible class of making confession, that we see that it was not just something that we do when we're standing in that body of water before being baptized, being immersed with Christ in that watery grave of baptism, but it's something that we will continue to do in making confession in our belief of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in our faith in Him, in our faith in His Word, in all things. Which brings us to the fifth step. The step of being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins unto salvation. In understanding this, we need to start just as we have begin at the starting of each and every one of these lessons on salvation by seeing the need for this, by understanding the importance of it. That being that for those who have not been saved, that if you're with us this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, you have not began in these steps, or maybe you have began in these steps, that maybe you've heard the gospel, you've read it for yourself, and you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior to all mankind, that He is your Savior. And maybe you're here this morning and you've repented of your sins. You've realized that you're in sin, that you have sin in your life and you need repentance of it. And you're trying to make changes in your life to leave that sin behind. And maybe you even made confession that you of this belief before all mankind. But you have not been baptized. You have not obeyed the gospel yet fully in being baptized. That now, right now, if you need that, here's water. Right now. What stops you from obeying the gospel? Why do you hinder if you need to obey the gospel, if you've done all these steps, if you believe all the things we've looked at this week? What hinders you? Are you not ready yet to make that commitment? If you're not, make that need known. Let's discuss it. Let's talk about it. Let's study. Maybe we've made that commitment, and yet we're struggling in our spiritual walk. And I want to give an opportunity right now that if you need to obey the gospel for the very first time and being baptized and putting on Christ in baptism, right here we can do it. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need strengthening, if you need to repent of something and seeking the forgiveness of God and the saints here, and that can be done at this time. That need can be met right now. As I've been saying, it doesn't have to wait till the end of this service. If at some point in the middle of this service, in this lesson, you make the decision that you know what you need to do, that you need the prayers of the saints, or that you need to be baptized, for the remission of your sins unto salvation, in putting on Christ, in ensuring that you continue this life as a child of God. Don't wait till I get to the next invitation. You just stand up and make your way down here and trust me, I'll know what you're doing. And we'll take care of that. We'll stop everything right where it's at. And we'll take care of your need to obey the gospel. And then when we're done, there'll be much rejoicing. And we'll continue this lesson. But as we continue, we need to understand how important that is. We need to be devoted to what it means to be saved. And for those of us that have been saved, we need to remember what it was to have been saved. And to share with those that have not been saved that experience and what it meant to us and why we were saved. That they may hear and that they may believe. And through that belief, it will bring them into repentance. And that repentance will bring them to the point of the believing and hearing that they'll want to make the confession standing in that water, being prepared to be baptized and putting in on Christ. That this is not a step of salvation that can be taken lightly. Now, it is the only one that we only have to do one time. That's where we've seen with the others that those are steps that we continue to do throughout our lives as Christians, throughout our walk with Christ and God and with one another as disciples and children. Now much of the world today, and we've talked about this a lot so far, that they say, well, yeah, you don't need baptism. Baptism's not crucial. It's not important. Don't worry about it. If you confess, if you believe, if you've heard, if you repent, you're saved. In fact, let's just accept Jesus into your heart. Just sit and say this prayer with me. Show me in the Word of God where that is. You believe that? Show me in the Word of God. I want to see it. I want to see with my own two eyes. I want to hear with my ears where God or Christ or the apostles being the mouthpieces of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father ever said, say a prayer, make a confession, and you get into heaven. I can show you over 49 times in the New Testament where baptism and being baptized are mentioned and crucial parts of our salvation. I think I sprained my finger. Get a little excited sometimes. But we should. When it comes to the salvation of mankind around us, we should get excited. Just as we got excited to be saved. And once we were saved. This is crucial, my brothers and sisters. This is so crucial. And to those that have not obeyed, this is crucial. Because I can't guarantee you that tomorrow will ever come. I can't guarantee you, nobody can guarantee you that we will be here an hour from now. And it may not even be that the Lord comes in an hour. I may get in my car to head into my parents' house and be killed. I don't know. We don't know what lies before us. But we know what is at hand. And we need to be considering that at every step of the way. In understanding this plan of God's for our salvation, to make sure that when it does come, when death's cold knock is at our door, when it's upon our brows we just sing, that we're prepared. That we can face it without fear. Many years ago, you guys know my dad well enough by now, Brother Joe, I just thought the man's fearless. Just fearless. Remember as a kid, he'd want to get a good picture over a 10,000 foot cliff and just, hold on, I almost got it there. Dad, what are you doing? You trying to kill yourself? Well, no. Aren't you scared? Well, yeah, it's kind of a scary fall. But I'm not afraid of death. I remember being told to me and my brother that if the moments that we fear death, we better look at our salvation. We better look at our walk with God in Christ. Of where are we at? I've held some very dangerous jobs in my life. And I've been asked, are you trying to die, Chuck? You just dumb? No. Are you scared of dying? No. I don't want to die. I don't want to leave my family. But I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. Because I've been baptized within that watery grave of salvation, putting on Christ and knowing where I am now each and every day. Tell you what, nothing makes you think about your salvation until you stare death in the face. It'd be, you know, that just hit my brakes just at the right moment. Or they just barely missed me. Oh, if I would have fell there. Baptism is crucial to our salvation, and we can't get around it. We can't make light of it. And we can't just keep pushing it off or telling people it's not important when it is. So why be baptized? Really quick, why be baptized? Why should you be baptized? Why were you even baptized? And in that, why be baptized? What even changes in our lives? What changes are made in our life just because we were baptized? What was it? Well, we see that if one believes, truly believes what they've heard of the gospel call, of Christ standing there, knocking at their door, ringing out that call of salvation unto them, that they will be baptized to be saved. But as we saw this morning in our scripture reading in Mark 16:16, of him who does not believe, or him that does believe but won't get baptized because I don't believe baptism is necessary, Jesus said in the Great Commission there, whosoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But what about whoever doesn't? Well, whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's hell, my friends. That place we don't like to talk about, weeping and gnashing of teeth, fire and brimstone, pain and suffering, agony for an eternity. That's what that is. Why be baptized? Because I don't want to go to hell. Do you want to go to hell? Do you? Does any? Raise your hand. Do you want to go to hell? Anybody want to go to hell this morning? No? It'll be warm there. Does that make a difference? No, no changes in mind. Who wants to go to heaven? We all do, don't we? We all want to go to heaven. Nobody would go and do something that purposely caused them pain, would they? Would you go and do something going, well, man, it's going to be the most painful thing I've ever done in my life, but boy, I'm going to enjoy it. No, you're not. We only do things we enjoy, don't we? We only want to do things that are pleasant. Well, let's see. You got hell, fire and brimstone, lake of fire. You know, you've got weeping and gnashing of teeth. Most unmiserable pains that we can't even begin to fathom and imagine. And remember, the father of lies is going to be there too to just make sure he can prod us. You know, like the old cartoons. Now, we don't know what that's going to be. But we know it's not going to be pleasant. Or streets of gold, a mansion, a new body. That you don't worry about aging or dysfunction in it. You don't worry about pain or sorrow or tears. You don't worry about it. It's all praise and glory and honor giving to God and to Christ. Which do you want to do? Well, that's not a tough decision. That's not a tough decision, Chuck. I know what I want to do. I know it. And we see, though, that we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. So if we want to be saved, we'll be baptized. If we don't want to be baptized, then guess what? We don't want to be saved. We don't want to believe. Well, that brings condemnation.
But in Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Still true today. It hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. Still the same guarantee. The same promise. But in verse 36, he brought them to believe. He said, "You believe, you know who you crucified." Verse 38 here that we're reading is because the children of Israel said, well, they said, "Peter, what do? We just killed the Son of God. We're going to hell. What do we do?" And he told them. He told them here. "You be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And Christ, as we saw in Acts, there in Mark 16:16, there in verse 15, what did he say? He said, "Go forth and preach unto all the world." And do this in the Great Commission of baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do this. Those that do it shall be saved. Those that will not, they will be condemned. God, we're going to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we believe that it's because of Him that we have this salvation. Because of Him being the Son of God. Because He gave His life a ransom on Calvary. Because He was buried as a dead man, but hell could not hold Him. Death's cold chains could not keep Him in bondage. And He raised from the dead. And He ascended to heaven to prepare a place for you and I, for all that will be baptized in His name. To this, we also need to see that we are baptized into Christ and into His death. That this isn't just making confession of His name in the name of Jesus, but in realizing that we are being baptized into Him. We are putting Him on. And we are partaking in His death in those watery graves of baptism. That's why we call it a grave of baptism. When we're immersed into that grave, we're buried with Christ, being brought up anew, a child of God, raised from the dead by the Father, the same Father that raised our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we too should then walk in a newness of life. That is what we see in Romans 6 and verse 3. There, beginning in verse 3 through verse 4. That beginning in verse 3 says, "Do you not know? Do you not know that all of us, and all of us still here today, this morning, who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, that you were baptized into His death, that we were buried therefore with Him by baptism, that immersion into water?" No sprinkling, no pouring. But that immersion into His death. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in newness of life. Are you walking in newness of life yet this morning? If you're not, are you real happy walking in the oldness of life? Are you happy walking in the sins and the muck and the mire of the world? And not having forgiveness? Are we? Are we? Maybe we've put on Christ in baptism already. And we've begun to falter on our hearing. Maybe we've begun to falter on our believing. Maybe we've begun to not repent when we need to be repenting. Maybe we've quit confessing. And we need to again walk in that newness of life. And we need to make those corrections. And we can make them because we were baptized. Because we had been to that cleansing fountain. This is the symbol of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's blood that flows forward and backwards for all generations that might hear His call. In understanding this. And we see, though, that through being baptized and putting on Christ, we need to see that, what does that mean, we put on Christ? How does that change things up? About how should we live then Once we're baptized and we put on Christ when we're coming up out of that watery grave of baptism, being raised anew, a child of God. Well, Galatians chapter 3, 27, here Paul is telling the church in Corinth, which they were struggling, thinking, oh, well, circumcision. Now we've got to have Moses' circumcision to be saved. And here he's kind of exploding. He goes, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. It's not about a physical showing. Not about a brand, an article that you could wear to show, but you put Him on here in baptism. Romans 13, 14, Paul tells the church in Rome, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires, to satisfy what the flesh wants. And when we put on Christ, we quit chasing after fleshly desires. Because that's not our goal. Our goal isn't this world. Our goal isn't satisfaction out of this life. But it's about being with Christ in the life after this. What that then too of Galatians 5:16. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify, you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. That if you walk by the Spirit, if you walk in Christ in whom you have put on, then guess what? You're not gonna search out to satisfy. You're gonna search out to scratch that itch of the flesh, going, ooh, that felt good. It won't matter to you. We go then back to Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse 12 says, let not sin, therefore what? Reign in your mortal body. Don't let it have control over us. When we put on Christ, then we're not going to allow Satan to take control of us. Now, is he going to be tempting us? Oh, yeah. He's going to tempt you more than anybody else because he doesn't have you in his back pocket. He's going to throw everything he can at you. And I know you guys just recently finished up a series on ending suffering. What did you see in that series? What did you see? Who's that finger to be pointed at of blame for the trials and temptations and the wrongdoings in your life? Is it God? Do we go, God, why me? No, we're pointing at Satan. Satan's going to throw those darts at you. He's going to hurl them. Because he wants you back. He lost you when you put on Christ in baptism. When you did that, you're not to let sin reign in your life. But yet it is to make you obey its passions. It reigns in there because it wants you to follow after it. Satan doesn't tempt you with things that you don't like. He's not going to tempt you with the things that I like. He's not going to tempt me with the things that you like. Because I think, all right, that's no temptation to me. I'm good. Okay, walk away. But we won't let sin reign our lives any longer then. We won't allow that. But then in Romans 8, in verse 1, Paul says, there therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's nothing that can condemn us if we're doing what we're supposed to do. If we're following after Him of which we put on Christ, we don't have to worry about condemnation. Because we're not seeking it out. We're not allowing it or giving it opportunity in our lives. Yep, that's what I wanted. But then we go back to Galatians 5 and verse 25. Here the churches in Galatia, and they were all stirred up. They were mixed up. Here, you know, just as many of them in Paul's letters, they so quickly left their first love. It's so quickly after hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing and being baptized, struggled with remaining obedient and faithful. They were being swept around by every wind of doctrine. That, oh, well, you need to do this. The Judaizing teachers coming in and confusing them up. He says, if we live by the Spirit would move them. That Spirit which in Acts 2:38 was guaranteed us, the gift of the Holy Spirit, If we live by that Spirit, it says, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us stay with it. Sometimes people want to do this with the Spirit. Thank you, Spirit. I'm going to sit you right over here. I'm going to go back over here for a moment. Play around. Oh, when I get in a lot of trouble, I'm going to run back over here and grab you again. Don't worry. I'll be back. We won't do that. We'll keep in step with the Spirit. We'll keep the Spirit with us. And Peter in 1 Peter 2, verse 11 says, beloved, I urge you. He's urging us because He loves us. We're His brothers and sisters in Christ. He loves those that aren't even in Christ because He wants them to come into Christ. He says, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh. Abstain from it. Well, why do we call ourselves sojourners and exiles? Because we're set apart. We're called to be set apart. That when we put on Christ in baptism, we're not that old filthy world anymore. It's been left in the grave. Those sins that we were carrying around before obeying the gospel, the sins that we were ashamed of and that we wish that we could undo that we had never done, they're there. And in that we decide we're going to leave them there. We're going to leave them there with all the... Because the majority... Are we the majority or the minority here? We're the minority. We know that when Jesus said the way to Him... It's a narrow road, but a wide gate is waiting there. Well, there's a wide road. It's an easy path. That's where the world's at. The majority's on that easy path because few will find that narrow road. Few are going to take that. But in that, we exile ourselves. We soldier in the alone so that we're not tempted by the passions and the desires of the flesh, those things that we would just go, oh, you get a little nostalgic. Oh, well, that sin wasn't really bad, was it? It was kind of a good time. Maybe I could do that. Wouldn't be too bad. Well, now we're starting to give degrees to sin. We're starting to let's say to it. And so we go, no, I left that behind. I repented. And I wage war against it. Because it's raging war against me, getting me to try to come back to it in all of these things. And understanding this, and we must understand this completely and fully. And even we go back into verse 1 or chapter 1 of 1 Peter. There in chapter 1 of 1 Peter in verses 13 through 16, this is being called to be holy, to be separate, to be set apart. It says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. Anybody in here ever play any sports? You play sports? Were we able to just go out there and be amazing at it? Some of it, yeah, well, okay. Great. I know you're amazing at it. But in that, we give thought before we step onto the field. We give thought before we do anything to prepare ourselves. To make sure we got the plan of attack laid out. What any different than preparing our minds as children of God and being called to be holy? He says, not only that, but being sober-minded. Set your hopefulness on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, of our former stupidity that we look back and we go, man, how did I think I could sin and be good with God? I can't. We can't change it. The definition of the word stupid is doing an action, knowing what the end result will be, thinking you can change it. You can't. We can't change it. He says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. So if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is holy, then we should be holy. Because we're called to be holy, to be set apart from this. And also, though, we need to see this morning an understanding and being baptized, that it is not the washing away the filth of the flesh. This isn't about getting there and taking a bath and going, I got a little BO. Maybe I should get baptized this morning. Maybe I do need it. You know, there's this one spot I haven't really been able to get out. That grease was really tough. Maybe the Lord's water will get rid of it. That's not what it is. It's about washing away the filth of the Spirit, renewing the Spirit, of being able to have an answer of good conscience towards God and before God in renewing the Spirit. Peter tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism does not, or is also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, there's that resurrection of Jesus Christ. Guess what? We're buried with Him in that watery grave of baptism. And we're resurrected with Jesus Christ through that. Through who? Through the power of the same Heavenly Father, our God, who raised our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, raises us. He raises us in that we may have a good conscience then before Him in all of this. And we finally, and I want us to look at, and I'll leave you with Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. That there in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul says, have He saved us. You better remember that. He saved us. We didn't save Him. We didn't save ourselves. And we can't. And it's not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Where are you this morning? Have you heard the gospel? Have you read it for yourself? Do you believe what you've heard and what you've read? You believe Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, your only begotten Son, the only begotten Son of God, not yours. Do you believe that He is the salvation unto all mankind, even your salvation? That He died for you, and that you can be raised with Him in glory one day? Are you sick and tired of the sinful life that you're living? Are you tired of the guilt that you feel in knowing that you are not right with God, that you are separated from God this morning? We know what it feels like when we're young and we're kind of foolish on things still, and knowing we know God loves us. But there comes a point in our life where we realize that God has become separated from us. And it's not because God doesn't love us, but it's because we have sinned. And that we have put a gap between us and God, that we have become spiritually dead because God does not have darkness in Him. He does not associate with darkness, with sinfulness. And that we want God back with us. And that we want to repent of the things that we are doing to separate us from God in this spiritual death. Then we make repentance of it. In leaving it behind and putting it away. And that you may make confession this morning. Maybe you've been making confession for a long time that you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. There's a lot of people out in the world today that will tell you, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He's the Savior of all mankind. And making that great confession, but will never step into the watery grave of baptism. Being buried with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being raised anew, a child of God, a disciple of His, and putting Him on, and being forgiven. And knowing that from that point on, when you stumble and you're separated, you can go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness. You can repent. Do you need to obey the gospel this morning? Do you need to come into contact with that saving blood of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We know what to do. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins,
for your salvation, and remain obedient and faithful until that judgment day.
Here's water. It's even warm. Brother Joe warmed it up for you. He's been nice. He's not going to get you baptized in the cold. I was baptized in an old cold baptistry. Late Sunday night, Mother's Day. I can't even remember how many years ago it was. If you need to obey the gospel, if you need to be baptized, you know what you need to do this morning. Make that choice this morning. I can't guarantee that I'm going to be able to offer it to you tonight. I can't even guarantee to you that Brother Joe will be able to offer it to you next Sunday or Wednesday. But I'll tell you this. If you don't take advantage of it now, if the Lord gives you the time that you need, the moment you know what you need to do, you contact Brother Joe. You contact any of the saints here. I'm around, you contact me. We'll make sure that you are saved immediately. We'll make sure that we get out here in the evening. I don't care. Get you in the bathtub if we have to. No, I'm kidding. Just because this body right here doesn't make it any holier than that ocean. Doesn't make it any holier than a pond on somebody's back 40 where I'm from. But make sure that you take care of that need. Make sure that you take what Christ is offering you, what God is offering you. This morning, if you need the prayers of the congregation, you've been baptized, you know what you need to do. And you haven't been doing it, then ask for the prayers of the saints now. If you need to ask for forgiveness, you ask for forgiveness now. James 5:19 tells us, go to one another daily, confessing your sins to one another. For the prayers of a righteous man avail much. We go to one another, that we hold each other accountable, that we pray for one another. We don't go so we can give the daily gossip. We don't go so we can get in the gossip mill. We go that we may be held accountable, that we may be prayed for and encouraged. If you have need today, I beg of you, I implore of you, I'm pleading with you. If you haven't figured that out, that I'm pleading with you, how many chances have I given you to be baptized today? How many chances have I given you to ask for the prayers of the saints? This means a lot to me. My salvation means a lot to me. And my call to share that with you, that means a lot. If you have that need this day, please make that need known by coming to the front as we stand and sing the invitation song.